Three ways to live for a believer. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Today's Bible verses are from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. All things in this world have their own ways of living. The birds live by flying, the animals live by running on the ground. The fish live in the water, the trees live by putting their roots down in the soil. Then how do the humans live? The humans live by stepping on the ground, but they need to live by looking up the sky. So the Greek people call humans as andropos. This means looking up. Looking up means looking up to God. When we have our eyes fixed on God, we get wisdom, our souls get purified, and peace comes into our minds. The reason that human beings are superior to other things is that humans look up to God and they have spiritual communication with God. Humans are spiritual beings, so God has given us the power to govern over the birds that fly in the sky, the things that crawl on the land, the things in the sea, and the fruit that bears the seeds. God has given us the authority to rule over them. This is the special authority and wisdom that God has given to humans only. We need to enjoy this blessing as we live. This is grace and the will of God. But as we live, even though we are living in faith, we get to experience agony and hard times. We sometimes encounter failure, and we sometimes meet the obstacles that cannot see the hope. Even when someone is well known as living a faithful life, it does not mean that that person does not have agony, and does not mean that whatever this person does, this person succeeds. If we see this process only, we cannot understand why, and it is easy to feel depressed. But we do not know about the success and failure of life yet as the life progresses. We need to see till the results come out. I like the figure Joseph in the Bible out of all the figures in the Bible. When we look at the progress of Joseph in his life, he had a lot of ups and downs. Due to the love of his father for Joseph, his brothers got jealous of him and sold him to Egypt. Joseph tried to live righteously after he was sold to Egypt, and because he stayed away from temptation, he even got jailed. He had to live 2 years in pain, which was not a short period of time. If we look at Joseph's process in his lifetime, he had to be depressed and would not possibly understand God at all. We also try to live by faith and live correctly, but we also sometimes get to experience hard times and encounter time of distress, get treated unfairly. In times like this, we easily get depressed. But do not be depressed. Till the end, put up with it, and keep looking up to God. For sure, there would be hidden hands of God. We call this the providence of God. This was like a drama, a process of God making Joseph to be the leader of Egypt. It was a shortcut that God designed. If Joseph did not have this process, how could he have been appointed as a leader of Egypt? Egypt was controlling the world at the time. This is the only way that God knows about. There are times that God leads this way. At this moment, you cannot say that you have success or failure yet. We need to end this journey first to decide. If you are having some hard times, then do not be blamed and do not be depressed. Having resentment and complaint as being tricked by Satan, in any way. Satans try to destroy our faith and life through resentment and complaint by any means. Christians need to believe that this is the will of God, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. So Paul introduced three ways that a believer should live. Firstly, it is rejoicing in the Lord. Let's read verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. He wants children of God to live gladly. He does not want them to live with worries, depression and complaints. He told us in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. The will of God for us is to rejoice always as we live. This means rejoicing is this important. The problem is if we have reason to rejoice, this is fair. But, for 365 days all the time, we cannot continue to have sunny and clear days. In the same way, in our lives, we don't always get to have good times, and also, we don't always get to have bad times. Businesses sometimes go bankrupt, and we sometimes suffer from illness, and economy goes downturn, and we lose our jobs, and fail from exams, so how could we possibly rejoice? In conditions like these, it is easy to be depressed and be in distress easily. The condition that Apostle Paul was in was like this. It was not a condition that he could not possibly rejoice. It was a letter that Paul sent to the people of Philippians church from jail in Rome, in terrible distress and in an ordeal. In a condition like this, how could he be rejoicing? We need to pay attention to words in the Lord. This is not the joy that God attained from the surroundings or conditions, but it is joy that was received in the Lord. Firstly, this is a joy that exceeds the surroundings and the conditions. In the Bible, there are a lot of people that confessed thankfulness and expressed their joy even in the times of suffering and adversity. This is because they overcame their surroundings in the Lord. Especially Job was like that. He was a righteous man and also a rich man in the East. Suddenly he became unfortunate. People of the Chaldees attacked him and plundered the camels, his house collapsed and lost his children. All over his body, he had a boil, so he was scratching his body with a tile. His wife even asked him, "Where is God that you believe in?" His wife abandoned him and left him. His friends too came to comfort Job but saw him in great misery. They could not say even one comforting word to him and went away. If the conditions were like that, would anyone not been in depression and resentment? But Job confessed like this even in these kinds of circumstances. This is what Job said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised." Job believed that the power to make a person to live or die was in the hands of God, so he confessed thankfulness in the condition that could not give thanks possibly. Later, God blessed Job twice the amount of the things that he had lost. He multiplied Job's possessions double the amount. Even though the condition Job was in was not the condition that he could rejoice, and it is not easy to look up to God and give thanks, but Paul emphasized the word in the Lord. If we go outside the reachable distance from the Lord, the surroundings rule over us. Outside the Lord, there are a lot of things that we cannot find the true joy in. There is no protection outside the Lord. The world changes very easily. Sometimes the laughter in the morning changes to sorrow at night, and because the hope changes to despair in a moment. Therefore, Paul emphasizes the phrase, "in the Lord." When we live in the Lord like Paul, we get to overcome the surroundings and the conditions, and the joy that comes from the heaven above would control us. Secondly, it is inner joy that God gives. This is the joy that comes from the Lord. The Lord becomes the head captain, so it is joy that does not feel the fear. So Paul said, it is not troublesome to use the same word. If the Lord is the head captain, there is nothing to fear and worry about whether the ship would be tipped upside down, and even the ship meets the storm. There is nothing to fear. Because we are the one with the Lord, common, one community. When the disciples were asleep, they met the storm. The disciples woke the Lord up and told Jesus that they would die. Jesus told the storm off to be silent, and after that told the disciples off, "Why fear?" The Lord asked them, "Why fear? Even the Lord is with them on this ship." Wesley, that changed England in the 18th century, he was born as a son in the pastor's family, and got sent to overseas as a missionary. But for 2 years, he did not see any fruit and failed. On the way home, he met a storm on the ship and so was anxious and fearful. He was looking for a life jacket, but saw other people in the room on the ship singing hymns and praising God. "Guys, this ship is going to be tipped upside down. So find your way to live, quickly," he yelled out. But they told him, "This young lad, we are fine, we are okay, and God is looking after us. And we have hope of the heaven. Believe in Jesus." Wesley was shocked by what they said. He came back to his hometown and deeply thought about what they said. "I am a pastor, but why don't I have the hope of the heaven like them? How come I do not have peace in my mind?" He wandered about and attended a conference, and there he received the fire of the Holy Spirit. After that, pleurisy, that he suffered for a long time, was healed completely, and through Wesley, one person, the revival movement activities have started there that changed the whole of England. That's right. The joy that Paul talks about is this kind of joy that comes from experiencing this kind of grace. This is joy that comes from the heaven above, and a person that has not experienced grace cannot understand this. When the gospel came into our country for the very first time, there were a lot of martyrs. If we look at the book titled Fierce Battles of the Martyrs, there are stories of the martyrs that kept their faith till the very end. If they said they will believe in Jesus till the end, their necks got cut and they got killed. It was a time of persecution for martyrs. I was told that the martyrs that died that got their necks cut, their faces were all very white in color, because all the blood was shed, but the smile was still on their face and their necks were cut and died. How could this be possible? Stephen as well, even he was dying by people hitting stones at him, his face was like an angel's face. This is not the peace that could be obtained from the surroundings. This is the inner peace and true peace that could only be gained in the Lord. Faith is having and living with this peace in possession. I hope and bless you all in the name of Jesus, that you will all live with this kind of joy in the Lord. Another way that a believer lives is to live by abstaining. Let's read the verse 2: "Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh." The word abstain means, in the original writing, it has meaning of be aware, be careful. In the main passage of today in the Bible, it told us to be careful, to abstain two things. Firstly, it told us to watch out for dogs. Dogs are known as very negative figures at the time in the Jewish society. We need to be careful of negative and improper things, and secular and worldly ideas. In the Bible, there are three things that have been described as dogs. Firstly, unconscientious things were expressed as dogs. The gift that God gave to humans is conscience. It lets us to know the good and evil, and it is like a compass that helps us to find God. In the same way, conscience and faith are like two wings of the bird, and like two wheels of the cart. If we lose conscience, faith too would get shipwrecked. Therefore, it tells us to be aware of the people that have lost their conscience. Secondly, the greed has been expressed as dogs. This is a selfish life that only wants to fill its own wants and needs. To fulfill the own greed and benefits, these people do anything to achieve whatever they want. Because of these kinds of people, our society is getting darker. Thirdly, the sexual, lustful desire has been described as dogs. In Revelations chapter 22, verse 15 it says, "Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." It told us to abstain dogs and be careful of them. I think the society right now has a culture of dogs. I think the world we live in is immersed with the culture of sexual immorality. The spirit, ideas, minds, and homes as well have been polluted with the culture of sexual immorality. For healthy society, healthy culture and for healthy education, God is telling us to abstain and get rid of these unconscious, greed and sexual immorality and uncleanness. This is the tip that God has given us, for us to live in grace of God. Also, He told us to be aware of the people that act violently. People that act violently means evil people. This does not mean people that do not believe, but these are the people that have wrong, incorrect faith. Paul said people like these are not the workers of God, but these are evil workers. There are people that initiate fights and with complaints and resentment, there are people that disturb the work of God. God told us to be careful of these kinds of people and watch out for them. That's right. As we live our lives, the thing that we need to be careful about the most is people. When we are in a deserted place, there if we meet a person, we are glad to see that person, but also, we could feel scared of that person. Humans cannot live apart from other people, but we cannot trust a person too much, and also we cannot distrust a person too much. This does not apply to individuals only, but also it applies to international society. Therefore, the thing that we need to be most careful about is people. Especially Paul said abstain and stay away from the people that act violently. People that tell lies, people that complain, people that grumble, people that are untrue, Paul said to be aware of these kinds of people, because it is contagious and infectious. When the infectious disease is going around, it is wisdom to stay away from there. Have a look at the neighbors, friends and church people and the surroundings that you encounter. When you meet these people, do they influence you positively? Are they beneficial to your faith? Do they make your faith ill? We need to have faith that controls ourselves, and abstain those that are not good to us. This is the wisdom of Christians and a way to live. One more thing, a way that a believer lives, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 3. Verse 3, it says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh." There we can see two scenes. The first scene is that the believer works in his ministry and serves with the Holy Spirit. Serving with Holy Spirit means serving God in His ministry, because he or she is grateful for the grace of God, so he or she is willing to serve with a voluntary heart. There was a pastor's seminar a while ago, a church deacon that has a cancer and is about to reach his final stage, even he is extremely weak, he came to church. I saw him helping out and serving with joy. His church pastor shared the story of that deacon to me. He could not even tell me the story properly because he was in tears, weeping, crying out. The pastor said, "That deacon has said to me that I do not know how much time I have left here on earth. But till the time that I could, I want to serve God, serve the church and serve pastor, and then I want to go to the heaven then." We all prayed for that deacon together and we all cried out. This is serving with the Holy Spirit. With the willing heart, with the fervent mind, and these people evangelize and visit each other's homes, and commit themselves in serving the Lord. This is serving the Lord with the Holy Spirit. Also, the believers feel proud of Jesus. They tell others about Jesus. There are two things to boast about. The first one is the physical pride and the other one is the spiritual pride. Having many things to boast about is a good thing. So people boast about their family line, fame and their children. Our family too was like that when the father was alive. Whenever it was festive season, the family history books were opened, and the adults boasted about the ancestors, the great-grandfather had this position in the country and so on. I could not find much interest on those things. Having good things to tell people about is not a bad thing. It is good to feel proud of the children and feel proud of the family line. But as Christians, what should we boast about? What should we feel proud about? Paul had a lot of things, physically, to feel proud of. At that time, he had a lot of knowledge, he was the best religious leader as a Pharisee. He had a citizenship of Rome, so had all the wisdom, power and fame. He had everything. But after he was changed by the Holy Spirit, he did not boast about these things. He told in the Bible that he regards the secular, worldly ideas as excretions. Paul only boasted about Jesus and boasted about the saving grace. Paul said there is nothing he can boast about other than the cross. That's right. This is what a person that received grace is like. The pride of Christians, pride of believers are very different from pride of other people. It is whole lot different level. Believers boast about the family of faith. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you living by the grace of God? A believer has a different way to live compared to other people of the world. The ideas about life, the ideas about the world, the goals they have are different. Because the origin of that joy comes from is different. So from now on, in the grace of God, get rid of darkness and depression and restore the true joy in the Lord. And be careful of the people that act violently. And serve with the Holy Spirit and be proud of Jesus. Boast about Jesus. When the Lord, our Shepherd, appears to us, He will immensely bless us with abundant blessings. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.